Hit the woods this fall with a spotting scope, rifle scope, rangefinder, or binoculars from Vortex Optics. From entry-level optics to cutting-edge optics, Vortex has a system that will fit your needs. And their industry-leading VIP no-fault warranty is a very important promise to their most valued asset, their customers. If your Vortex optics become damaged or defective, Vortex will repair or replace them at no charge. Log on to vortexoptics.com to find your next optics, or look for Vortex at your local outdoor retailer.
Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on Seattle Sports Station and at seattlesports.com. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Ray Marine Electronics, and Les Schwab Tires.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, Seattle Sports Station 710, and the Seattle Sports app, streaming live on MinorQuest.com. Don't forget about the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. So there's a big difference between owning a kayak and fishing a kayak, right? We got kayaks last year.
Yes, and we have kayaks.
And I just haven't been able to get past the fun of just paddling that thing around, right? But somebody who has taken it to the next step and has
the
for a while.
Level.
The next level. Next yes. level kayaker is none other than the chief, the rear admiral, no, rear commodore of the Kayak Club
yes.
itself is Brad Hull of Kayak Fishing Washington.
Morning, buddy.
Good morning, Brad Hull.
Hey, good morning, Brad. How you doing, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you? That's quite the introduction.
You know, as usual, I know that you've been out on all the little local lakes, west side, east side, Oregon, all over the place. What have you been doing lately, man? I'm sure you're probably chasing panfish or something this time of year. What's happening out there, buddy? What's the latest?
Yeah, I've been, you know, back doing the panfish thing years ago. I was doing quite a bit of cutthroat trout, and I've kind of scaled back on that and been focusing more on some of these smaller lakes for mainly crappie, but I'm getting into some perch and stuff as well. But with this nicer warmer on the horizon here, the fish are starting to move up. I've been jigging a lot of these crappie in, you know, 30, 40 feet of water, and they don't move much that time of year. But so lots of lakes around Seattle where I've got a couple hours to spend and get out there. And the key to this, especially, you know, in the colder months, is having a good fish finder that you can actually mark these fish on the bottom. Sometimes they're one or two fish. It's kind of reminds me of the Mackinac Lake trout fishery where you're dropping down on them. They feed only up. So unlike, you know, bass fishing where you're trying to drop down the bottom and stuff and they pin it to the bottom, or like a walleye, they're looking up so they can see it drop. And a lot of times you're doing what I call video game fishing. You're watching these fish actually come up to intercept your jig, or to look at it and go back down, and then you got to drop something else down on them.
Yeah.
What kind of jig you dropping on them?
You know, I'm kind of like I'm like a bass guy. I've got usually three rods rigged up, and depending on time of year and depth, I've got I tell people the lightest weight jig possible to get you down. So if the elements, if it's blowing up top, you're going to need something a little heavier, but a lot of these fish are feeding on small microscopic, you know, invertebrates in the water and stuff. But they'll, you know, it's like you could feed them a big Thanksgiving dinner. If you drop something, you know, a juicy steak down in front of them, they're going to hit it. So they will nail something, you know, much larger than they typically feed on if they're coaxed. So I'm using anything from a curly tail grub to, I've got these jigging spoons by Bink Spoons and these, jigs out of Europe called Euro Tackle, which are a lipless crankbait, with really sharp hooks on them. And I'm just kind of mimicking a small bait fish and just kind of, you know, dropping it on top of them, but just almost dead sticking it. You know, the slightest movement, because they're not really moving around too much. Now, they are starting to now. They're pushing into shallower water, you know, that 18 to 20 foot mark now. And then they're, you know, the bigger females are going to move into spawn, you know, when it gets a little bit warmer. So that's coming up.
So, now pretty much everywhere Tom and I fish, I see these little flotillas of guys in Hobie kayaks all over the place. We're in CQ, and there's guys out there fishing. They're in the salmon drags fishing for salmon. And I know that a couple of years ago, you guys usually make a trip out to fish for halibut. Talk a little bit about what it's like to have an 80-pound halibut on, and then how do you get that thing in the boat? There's a picture on your website of that halibut in your boat. You obviously had some form of harpoon to harpoon that sucker. So tell us about that. How'd that go?
Well, again, that was a number of years ago, but it's the Neah Bay area, and a lot of folks camp out at Hoback Beach out there, and then the boat guys typically have to drive into town to launch their boats, whereas we can go right down the beach into, you know, right in the bay there. But we're, you know, you have to be prepared. And, you know, I was, you know, somewhat of a novice doing this. I'd been out a couple times before out of that area and caught lingcod and rockfish and stuff. But a halibut's another beast. You really got to be prepared. And I didn't, you know, at the time, I didn't have a fancy harpoon or buoy system. We actually made the thing with stuff out of my garage. We had some threaded rebar, and we put one of those removable harpoon hooks on it, and my buddy had a lathe, and we made the handle, and we just grabbed a couple canoe cushions and crab floats out of my garage.
Perfect.
That was my setup.
MacGyver.
And, you know, really safe. And tied a rope to it, and my buddy who'd harpooned it before, he was a seasoned dike angler and had caught halibut before, just said, you know, whatever you do, just keep calm. Make sure that rope is out of the boat. You know, the last thing you want is that rope to catch around
end
your leg.
Wrapped around your leg, yeah.
Yeah, and go into the bottom. And that stuff's happened, you know. And so I went out, and a couple weeks prior, I had hooked a fish that I swore was a halibut. And I was only about 45 feet of water. And so I went back out, because it wasn't in the season when I hooked this one. And I, first drop of the day, I mean, it was, a lot of it was dumb luck, but I had a dead sand dab that we jigged a bunch up, and I dropped it down, and whammo, got hit, brought it up. In all the confusion, I hit it, and I think I hit it in the boniest part of the head, and it bounced off. I just remember it was like somebody did a cannonball next to the guy.
I've never done that,
yeah,
buddy.
Dude.
Oh, man.
I'll never forget the first.
Yeah. And, I mean, but I'm at water level. You guys
yeah.
just
oh,
get
yeah.
it up
no,
a little
you're
bit.
Right, yeah.
So I chased this thing down. Luckily, there was another guy near me that I yelled to grab my harpoon, which is now floating in the water. He followed me out, and I lifted it back up and got another shot at it, and the rest is history. But, you know, how to get it in the boat, that was a heavy fish. That was 80 or 82 pounds. And, you know, this heavier Hobie Pro Angler that I have has a pretty wide deck in the back, and we were able to get that thing up there, and we hog-tied he hog-tied the tail to the – there's a rail on the back of the kayak. But – in all the confusion, I forgot to kill the fish. So for an hour, it beat the deck back there, knocked out one of my paddles, which I didn't know about. And then my buddy who helped me with the harpoon and stuff, he catches a 45-pounder, and he's got a smaller kayak, so we throw it on the back of mine. So I got 120 pounds of meat going back into the beach with a four-foot swell, and I – anyway,
yeah. You got your upper body workout that day.
That's how
good,
we did it.
Clean fun.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so well, we awesome. Had your friend Leo on one of those events.
Yeah, Leo.
And Leo got pulled out of the boat by a 120-pound halibut and drug all over the place. And that story was just incredible. Yeah, classic.
Yeah,
stuff.
That was crazy.
We'll do anything.
Yeah, so
you
got to
be
careful out there. You got to be prepared. You got to have immersion gear and all that stuff if you're going to go do this. You can't go out in your jeans and tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And,
dude, we
you
were
know, really
yeah. When Joey and I were at CQ, we actually saw these guys go out in rain gear and boots, and they were soaked when they went out. I mean, yeah, if you're going offshore, that's
point. Joey was texting me the video. And
oh,
stuff
yeah.
Of,
we
the guys getting was, yard sailed in the water in the launch there.
That well, was, even the smallest swell will row you up and hits the beach. Back to the crappie thing. Well, those fish move in on some structure here. I mean, you talk about fishing them really deep right now, but, you know, I remember when we were kids, we'd catch them, but it would be on like a submerged tree or or something up shallow, you know, maybe 8 to 10 feet of water. When will you see them move up like that?
Yeah, this coming month, you know, getting into May and stuff, mid to late May, I think you'll see. I mean, not all of them spawn at the same time, and they say a lot of them spawn around the full moon, too. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, they'll go into, the males will go in, like, you know, and clear out beds and stuff, and the females will go in and lay their eggs and stuff. But yeah, they tend to tie to structure, either the edge of a weed line, around lily pads. You know, if you find a brush pile or something like that, they'll suspend over it. And that's the unique thing about crappie compared to like perch and stuff, where you'll see a big school of perch go by, or you'll see them just pinned to the bottom. Like you won't even mark them until you drop it down. Crappie, most of the time, will suspend 3, 5, sometimes, you know, I've caught them in Lake Sammamish in 80 feet of water, and they're suspended 40 feet off the bottom. So it's that makes them kind of tricky to catch. But most people, their success is in the warmer months where they're kind of around structure, around, they can see the weed line or the edge of the lily pads, and they cast to it or cast a float and stuff.
Kind of an electronics game.
Oh, totally. Totally electronics.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you keep them and eat them? Do you keep some?
Occasionally I do. I try to educate people because in the Northwest here, you know, a 12-inch crappie is 9 to 10 years old. Hmm. And a lot of these smaller lakes, they can't sustain a large population. So a lot of those bigger fish are, you know, once they're gone, it's going to take another 9 or 10 years to catch up.
Yeah.
So I try to release the bigger ones. I'll, you know, if I break, they're kind of like a rockfish in the wintertime. No, if you bring them up too deep,
well put.
They just don't make it. So either it's me eating it or the eagle next door. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. What a fun
deal. They are delicious to eat.
Yeah, so, good. All right, we usually have this discussion where you're doing an event, like a kayak fishing event, but you've got kind of a different program these days where you'll actually meet somebody at Sport Co. or Outdoor Emporium and help them pick out a kayak. Tell us a little bit about that program you got going on.
So I help out Sport Co. and Outdoor Emporium, and we've got a great couple guys that work there that are the Hobie leads in the store. And you know, if you're shopping at the store and you're interested in checking out a Hobie, we've got there's a ton of boats down there to check out. We try to narrow that down based on, you know, your size and kind of what fishing you're going to be doing. And from there, we have this program. If you want to try one out, it's $50. We pick the model kayak you're interested in. We meet you at a local lake. We spend about an hour with you, walk through the boat, let you sit in the boat, paddle it around, talk about rigging, all the questions you want to answer and stuff. But the key is just getting it in, pedaling around, checking your stability, checking how it feels on your back. I mean, Joey knows. I took him out last year, and it's just that's the experience that you don't get. And, you know, it's like anything else. You guys are in the boat world. You don't want to buy a boat just off the showroom floor. You want to get out there and try it out before you spend all this money on it.
Absolutely.
And then the store actually applies that $50 fee towards the purchase of a new Hobie. So it's kind of a win-win as far as, you getting to try the boat you like and making sure you're comfortable with it.
So it's $50, so I show up with my fishing gear, and then you take me fishing
no
for $50?
This is just a demo.
Okay.
I thought I was getting a guided Brad Hole kayak fishing trip for $50.
We want to harpoon an 80-pound butt at Green Lake. I mean, come on, what could be more fun than that?
That'd be a hell of a deal.
That would be. That would be something else. Yeah, that would catch all those out of there. He's Brad Hole, kayak fishing Washington. Brad, thank you for your time, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, Brad.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Appreciate the time. See you, Brad.
Bye-bye.